In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a bridge account. Yeah, you heard that correctly, a bridge account, which is not an official technical term that if you look up, hey, I want to open a bridge account at Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity, nothing will come up. And the reason for that is it's a fancy name for a taxable account or a brokerage account, which is essentially, this is the account for a lot of clients of mine that they will use before they retire. If retirement is, for example, officially at 65, my clients often retire early, call it between 55 to 65. On average, and let's assume they're retiring at 58. Well, before 59 and a half, you don't want to have to pull from those assets that are in an IRA or 401k or Roth IRA and have to pay taxes and additional penalties. So this is where that bridge account comes into play. In addition, let's assume you're 62 and you're retiring. You're like, all right, where should I pull assets from first? Well, if you've been listening to the podcast for some time, you know the Roth IRA is one of my favorite accounts, but we want to touch it last because we want it to keep compounding and growing tax-free forever. Your IRA, yes, it's a helpful account because you've been getting a deduction for all these years. The 401k has now maybe moved to an IRA. Well, now what I want you to think about is if we're pulling from our IRA, what's happening is now we're realizing income. It's not a bad thing, but that might mean we're going to have to pull more income and pay more taxes. So what I often look at is this bridge account. This is known as a joint account, a brokerage account, a taxable account. It's all a very fancy name for the same thing, which is these are dollars that you put in. You don't get a special tax benefit for it. However, there's no taxes, additional taxes, should I say, or penalties when you pull from this account. So a bridge account is essentially bridging the gap between when you should really start pulling from your retirement accounts to make sure you're optimizing your investments and tax strategy. So a little bit of a longer intro there, but I'm in love with early retirement and a bridge account, and it can play a huge role for a lot of people. And so I want to talk today about how you should invest that. So before I hop into today's episode topic, once again, please, if you haven't already, if there's been any guidance that's been helpful so far, I kindly ask that you take a moment and click the 5 stars button on that review tab and let me know what's been helpful. I really appreciate if you would do that. Number two is if you're looking for more content like this, I do have more on my YouTube channel, and I invite you to connect with me on LinkedIn as well, as I'm posting more content there, trying to make sure that everyone who needs guidance on an early retirement is getting it from someone like myself, who's number one, of course, obsessed with an early retirement, not because an early retirement in and of itself is so amazing, but it's the idea that you could be spending more time doing what it is you want to do and not what someone else wants to do, or not going into work because you need to. Now, a lot of people, and this might surprise you, it might not, a lot of people go through a planning process with myself or another advisor, and I'm just speaking on my personal experience here, and they'll go, Ari, oh my gosh, I realized I didn't actually hate my work as much as I thought. I hated knowing that I felt I had to go to work, and it was that was making work so, you know, unenjoyable, if you will. And so now they're going, wow, now that I have a plan that shows I don't really need to keep working, I'm going to go to work, but it's because it's on my terms now. I'm working if I want to, and I have the flexibility and really peace of mind to say, hey, I'm going to take this time off. And, you know, if I get fired, you know, whatever happens, happens. Now, for most of my clients, they're not in that position, but I just use that example to illustrate, I want you to have the peace of mind. And the last thing I want is for you to not go through a planning process and learn, what if you could retire 5 years earlier and you just don't know it because you haven't looked through every strategy and gone, you know what, I've crossed off every single T and dotted every I, and I'm confident in that. So let's now move on to this bridge account example. There I go again. Well, what is this bridge account? Once again, it's a taxable account. This is what you want to live on between retirement and having full access to your funds, tax-free, penalty-free at 59 and a half. So if you've heard me talk about asset location before, not asset allocation, but asset location, which is saying of the investments we own, it's not enough to just go, okay, we want a 60-40 portfolio or 70-30 or 80-20. By the way, I don't really believe in any cookie cutter model like that, but just for basic example here, let's assume you want a 70-30. Please do not go own a 70-30 in your IRA, Roth IRA, brokerage account. We talk about asset location because what it is, it's the importance of owning the right investments in the right account, not enough to stop at right investments. We take it a step further and go in the right account. There's a little bit of different pieces when it comes to, in fact, a lot of different pieces when it comes to implementing this well. And there are certain things that can even feel overwhelming to the point of, oh my gosh, Ari, like I have no chance of implementing what you're talking about. A lot of what I'm going to be sharing today, I think you could implement, which is why I'm going to explain it a certain way, but want you to know, of course, this is what I help people to do, just so you're aware. So what is asset location? Once again, it's not your asset allocation. It's not the stocks and bonds and cash that you have. It's saying of those, where should we own them? So can we own the right investments in the right accounts? Why? For tax purposes. Now, it's really easy to get into the weeds with this, which of course I love to do, but I want to keep it high level so that you can understand, okay, why do we even do this? How do we think about properly using asset location? And what do I mean for my bridge account? And here's what it comes down to. It comes down to time horizon. When do you need the money? Whenever someone asks me, when should I invest these funds? How should I invest these funds? I start high level. I go, when do you need the money? And I'll give people a basic example. Okay, I'm going to give you four things you can invest in. You tell me which one you want to choose. And they go, okay. And I'll say, well, here's one investment. It goes up 53% of the time. Here's another investment. It goes up 65% of the time. Here's another investment that goes up 75% of the time. And then one other investment that goes up 100% of the time. Which would you choose? And people are like, Ari, is this a trick question? I want the one that goes up 100% of the time. I go, absolutely, it's a great investment. And they're like, okay, like where are you going with this? And I tell people, the investment that goes up 53% of the time, that's the stock market on a daily basis. So it's pretty much a coin flip. 53% of the time, the stock market's positive, 47%, it's negative. On a monthly basis, 65% of the time, it's positive, 35% of the time, it's negative. On an annual basis, 75% of the time, it's positive, 25% negative. In over 20 years, there's never been a 20-year time horizon where you did not make money investing in the stock market. So if people go, I don't need this money for 20 plus years, I'll be the first person to say how we should have this allocated for full growth because we've never seen a time period where it hasn't made you money. Now, if you're going, Ari, I want to make sure I can get into my dream home next year, how should I invest the dollars? I go, well, you have a 75% chance looking at these, you know, just basic history that you will make more money, but there's a 25% chance here that you are not going to have the dollars earmarked for your dream home. And the real risk is that that dream home does become available, maybe even at an advantageous price, but the market has had a bad year and now you can't buy it. Well, that's defeating proper planning. That's going against exactly why we do this. So in this case, I would say this is why we'd want more conservative allocation for dollars, maybe even having a certain amount in cash for that home purchase in this example. So bringing it back to this bridge account, if you're going, all right, I'm going to live off of these funds the next 2, 3, 4 years until I tap into these other accounts. Well, I don't want them earmarked for total growth because I want to make sure you have these dollars to meet your living expenses. Could we do better? Well, maybe we could, but is it worth the risk of potentially not having the money we need to be able to meet our expenses? I would argue probably not. So how would you invest if you need money in 1 year versus 2 years versus 5 years versus 20 years? A bridge fund is really a combination for more people than not. It's 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. And so when you retire, it's different because you now need to make sure your money lasts for 30, 40 plus years, especially with an early retirement, 40 plus years in most cases. I want to make sure that this bridge fund is being utilized really intentionally and not being invested for too much growth. Now, on the flip side, when it comes to what investment should we put in this bridge account, in this taxable account, think about the tax implications of this bridge account for a moment, this taxable account. Remember, a bridge or taxable account or joint account all mean the same thing. You don't get a special tax benefit. You put money in, it grows, you pay taxes on that. Now, the difference is you don't have to wait until 59 and a half. You're not going to be hit with extra taxes or extra penalties. So there's a trade-off there. We're losing tax benefits. We're gaining liquidity. We can touch these funds if we'd like to. So when we're looking at, okay, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, we want to put what's in this account, what's most tax efficient. For example, if there's a bond and it's paying a lot of interest, and a lot of people go, that's a great thing, right, Ari? I'm getting interest and, you know, I'm gaining more money. I go, great, but can we put assets like that in accounts where that interest will not be taxable, like a IRA, like a 401k, like a 403b, these accounts that are tax deferred. Even a Roth IRA, the difference is I don't love putting fixed income assets in a Roth IRA because that's our best account for long-term growth. So assets that are going to be, you know, they're going to have capital gains, assets that are going to have significant, you know, interest or dividends or things like that, can we put those in our tax inefficient aspects of our portfolio, like an IRA, where we're looking at, okay, this is an account that's going to make sure that all of those interest and dividends and all of that, we don't have to pay taxes on that. Yes, we pay ordinary income when we pull out money, but you don't have to worry about that for your IRA. Now, if we were to not do what I just said, so pretend everything I just said, which I hope resonated and sounded like English, let's pretend we don't do that. If instead we put all of that into our taxable account, our bridge account, we are going to have to pay taxes on those, on the interest, on the capital gains, on the dividends. And I would rather, if we determine what's the right allocation, I would rather you not pay any more taxes than you need to. So it can get a little bit into the weeds here, as you can tell. And I want to make sure, you know, we're sticking on track here, if you don't mind. So when it comes to how should you invest them, everyone has a different mix when it comes to income and growth and preservation and their withdrawal strategy. And maybe there's a pension, or maybe there's rental income or inheritance, and everyone has different factors. You know, maybe you and your spouse are very different ages. And that might mean when you're looking at your plan, it's how do we structure this intelligently with our bridge account? And if you want to retire early, like most people do, what should I put in there? What are the assets to make sure that I'm being as efficient as possible? That's exactly why we look at this and do proper planning. And we have to start with, okay, when do we need the money? If we need it in the short term, I would rather you not take as much risk. But if we don't do that and essentially and just take a ton of risk, well, what does risk mean? For most people, they think of risk as the short, you know, ups and downs of the market fluctuations. And they're not wrong, that's a risk, but that's not real risk. To me, real risk is that you run out of money. So how do we prevent that? We prevent that by making sure your plan shows that you will never run out of money by having enough assets you can pull from no matter what the market's doing. Let's assume you retire and I don't know, you're 62 and you retire, and now all of a sudden the market goes through a really rough 5-year patch. I don't want you to have to worry, because you have enough set on the side. You have enough in this bridge account. You have enough of fixed assets to pull from. You don't care what happens because you are okay. It's really when people go, Ari, I'm so scared, you know, I'm retiring and now these assets, I just can't risk them going down. I need to live off of these. They're more than fine for the first 5, 10, 15 years. It's the latter years where they're going, wow, but by me being overly conservative today, I could see how I'm actually kicking myself, because in the future, not only will I have less dollars because inflation eroded the value of my dollars, but now I'm struggling to meet my living expenses. And that's I don't want anyone to have to go through that. So overall message here, don't plan for as much growth for your bridge account, but certainly utilize something like this, which can be an amazing tool. And this is the last thing I'll leave you with, an amazing tool to implement Roth conversions. If you've done a really good job saving and investing, you have a really healthy IRA or a really healthy 401k balance, and you want to make sure you're doing really, really effective conversions, what you want to do is you want to pull from your brokerage account because it doesn't realize income. What you're doing is you are intentionally keeping income low, living off of these dollars. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of capital gains here or there, but assuming you're looking at that account and you're being really intentional of how you withdraw funds, what you can do is oftentimes pull from that account, keep income and taxes really, really low, implement strategic conversions, and move more money to be Roth so it's never taxed ever again. The benefits of asset location are very real. They're minor compared to the damage that could be done, you know, if you were to prioritize asset location over asset allocation. So once again, always take that step back and go, okay, when do I need the money? What's the real goal of doing all of this? Am I in a position to retire early? Keep it high level, and then either work with a planner or on your own, do the full analysis to go, okay, am I optimizing everything when it comes to a financial plan? Once again, most people don't reach out to me because they need to be okay. They just want to do as good as they possibly can. And having an effective strategy with your bridge account like this can just be a wonderful tool. So that's it for today. If this was even remotely helpful, I kindly ask that you do leave a 5-star review and let me know. Either shoot me an email, or you can always reach out to me in the description below. You can see my ebook there, as well as other resources when it comes to working with me. So hope this was helpful, and I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week.
Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.